Hello and welcome to the Mindset Growth Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emma Gibbs-Ung. Each show, I'm going to be using a combination of interviews with incredibly inspiring people from around the world who have achieved greatness, overcome adversity, and never given up, as well as solo episodes from me sharing my own journey as a leading mindset coach, helping to inspire, support, and guide you to create a growth mindset so you can achieve success in all areas of your life. Are you ready to bring mindset to life and create success from the inside out? Let's go. Hello and welcome back. Today I'm joined by the most inspiring lady I have ever met, the gorgeous Samantha Baines. I had the privilege of meeting Sam just over a year ago when I interviewed her for my group program, and she's continued to inspire me on a regular basis. Sam is going to be sharing with you her inspirational story of how on New Year's Eve 2015-2016, she had the most horrendous sledging accident, which left her in a coma with only a 7% chance of survival. She had multiple fractures to the skull, brain damage, a broken back, and severe damage to her arm. She overcame the odds, she survived that accident, and has gone on to learn how to walk and talk again, to ski, and to most recently climb Mount Kilimanjaro. She is now training to climb Mount Everest, and her story is truly inspirational. She has faced and overcome the biggest of challenges, the biggest of obstacles. She's looked death in the eyes and has overcome that. And she has never, ever given up. And she's the most humble person I have ever met. I'm so excited to have her on this show today, and I can't wait to share her story with you. Sam, thank you so much. I'm so excited to have you here today, and I can't wait to share your story. For me, you are the example of just how you can achieve anything you put your mind to. Every time I speak to you, your positivity, your mindset, your approach to life just inspires me tenfold. And I know by the end of this interview that everyone else will agree with me at just how inspiring you really are. But before we dive into the interview, I would really love for you to share with us all the lead up to your accident. What was going on within your life at that stage? Why you went to Austria? Just give us a bit of a picture of what was happening with you.
Okay, so in a bit of a nutshell, my life has never been easy. So age 12, mum and dad separated. Age 13, mum got cancer. She was ill for 13 years. And then 3 months before I started my physio degree, she passed away. But she was the most positive, like, person you could ever imagine, ever imagine, I think. She passed it on to me, hopefully. And then I was with, from when my mum died, I was in a relationship for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I completely lost myself. I was trying so hard to please him and lost how to please myself or like the person I was. Mm-hmm. I ended up moving to London with him, and then a month later he split up with me. So I was in another city with no friends, no family, trying to find somewhere else to live and work, and trying to find myself again. And then I had a friend who was literally my little ball of positive energy. She would say to me to start reading self-development books and start doing the whole manifestation, visualization. And I just thought she was talking a load of rubbish. Mm. Anyway, I thought, why not? My life is pretty bad at the moment. So I started. And I started reading a book called Stop Saying You're Fine. It literally brought home everything. It made everything sound so like someone's talking about my life. Yeah. And then my life started to change, and I started to notice that the more positive I was, positive things were happening in my life. Jobs, friendships, work, relationships. And then I one day was on the way to work, and I thought I'd look on LinkedIn and saw the job in Austria, As a physiotherapist in your spare time, you could ski. I thought this job is for me. And straight away, I applied for it in 10 minutes on the train on the way into work. And as I got to work, I told everyone that job was mine. Wow. For even having an interview, for even speaking to the owner of the company, that job was mine. And I told everyone. And I think that I've looked more into it, how positive you are about something and how you do manifest things. You totally do. So I had a phone interview and I knew the job was going to be mine. Then I had a face-to-face interview. Then I had another interview that was like 2 hours long. And then the job was mine. I moved to Austria and I loved it. I loved it so much. And then it didn't last very long. only last a month. That's when my accident happened. Yeah.
So you'd been there a month, you just said. So yeah. You're obviously in the swing of your job. It was New Year's Eve, I believe, with the with the accident. Just talk me through that. Because I know obviously there's aspects of this that you can't remember, but leading up to it, sort of what was going on?
Or on the United accident?
Yeah.
Okay, so I drove to another girl that I worked with in Austria because her boyfriend, he builds igloos that you can stay in on the top of the mountain. So we hiked up to have fireworks, see the igloos, dance around the fire, and then we decided to sledge back down the mountain, down which was a red run that you would ski down. And I remember as I was hiking up the mountain with my friend, turning round to her and saying, we've got to sled down this later, it's so steep. And I remember 2:30 in the morning, sledding back down, falling off every now and then, laughing because I couldn't control where I was going. I thought it was hilarious. And then the next thing I knew, I was in a hospital.
Wow. So obviously there's a lot that's been blocked out. How far did you fall when you fell?
50 meters.
50 meters. My God. Okay. So to bring that to life, effectively, you fell 50 meters. You broke your skull.
Broke my skull in 4 places.
Yeah.
My neck, my lower back, and I pulled 2 of the nerves that help control your arm out of my spinal cord.
Wow.
And I was in a coma for 2 weeks and there was only 7% chance I was going to come out of the coma.
Yeah.
And if I was going to come out of the coma, there was going to be a high chance. But I think they said 30% that I was going to be in a vegetated state.
Right.
I wasn't going to be able to do anything.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that is huge. That is life-defining in that moment, isn't it? But, you know, as you are here today, you obviously defied the odds and you made that recovery after two weeks in that coma. Suddenly you were then faced with the prospect of months ahead being very different from the ones that you had planned when you'd gone over to Austria for your dream job. So how did that injury impact you both mentally and physically?
I think initially, because I was so medicated, my mentality wasn't perceiving reality in the correct way it should be, because I woke up, I remember feeling that I was going back to work the next day, and then I remember talking to one of the doctors and saying that I was going to go skiing the next week. And so I wasn't thinking straight, basically. And then I think when I was coming off the medication, I would become too independent and too strong. So I would get the doctors in their rooms every day, ask them what the medication I was taking, why I was taking it, how long I was taking it for. So I completely took over my care. I was so involved in it. I think because I'm a physio and I take care of people on the wards normally. I know what happens in the medical industry, and I know you need to be really proactive in your own care. You can't just assume someone who's you're going to be a doctor. They might be amazing doctors, but they're not God. They're not going to help you get a better life. Only you can do that. So I made the choice that it was going to be and no one else's, and I was going to dictate what was happening and when.
Wow. I mean, I think, for the viewers, it's really important to say, obviously, you are a physio, but the ironic thing is you've always specialised in back injuries, haven't you, with regards to injuries?
Yeah. So you had
a lot of experience in that area. Yeah. Which is ironic for a start, but
and people coming out of comas as well.
Yeah, which, you know,
it's crazy.
It is crazy. But I mean, obviously, so from that offset, you know, you've just said the medication and everything started to wear off. You were aware of the physical injuries that you had, and do you feel that you almost sort of went into autopilot then with regards to your experience previously with helping others, that you saw yourself as another patient that you needed to help? How do you put that association together that it was you? You know, what was running through your mind then?
I think it was a bit like a seesaw. I would have moments of feeling that I was really on top of things, and I knew what I was doing, where I was going. I knew what time the physio was going to come into me, and what time I was having speech and language therapy, and what time I was having certain tests. But then I would have moments where I thought that this was going to be my life, I was going to be in hospital forever. It just, everything felt so long. Days felt like weeks, mm-hmm. weeks felt like years. And those moments, I would be the lows of the low, but then they would only last moments, thank God. And then I would be a bit better and see that there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel.
How did you do that, Sam, though? Because, you know, the enormity of your recovery was huge. Like, you had to learn how to walk again, didn't you? And
yeah.
Talk
and eat and everything.
Yeah, so you're starting from scratch as an adult. You know, these are things we learn as we grow up. So that was a huge process that you were facing. And obviously you've just mentioned that you did have low periods, but they weren't particularly long in the grand scheme of things. But what were you doing to pull yourself out of that so you could become focused and positive about the future?
So when I was having those really low points, so low that I just wanted to die, like I could just remember it. But then I remembered thinking to myself, I did not want to feel like that for long. And I would remember what used to get me out of certain holes of darkness back in London, reading certain things, eating certain things, exercising, manifesting, like visualizing and writing things down. Well, I couldn't really write because I couldn't use my right arm, but I could type things into my phone and start visualizing certain things, like looking out the window and seeing I'm going to be walking outside soon, you know, and looking at the stairs in the hospital, and I'm going to climb up those stairs next week, and setting certain realistic goals. But not having just a goal, then not doing anything about it, but working way up daily to that goal.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and I think that is amazing. Like, obviously, your end goal was to get your quality of life back, but your daily goals were to walk up the stairs or to make sure that you were proactive and positive within your physio sessions and so on and so forth. And I think that's so important, because often when we set goals, we tend to get caught up in the how and the enormity of it all, that we get overwhelmed and fearful with that. And, you know, what fears were you facing at that time, you know, having woken up from the coma and realizing that this was your life? Were there any reoccurring fears that were coming through? And if so, how did you manage them?
Yeah, one of the fears was never getting out of hospital. Mm-hmm. And another fear, a massive fear that would make me so miserable, was thinking that I was never going to be a physio again.
Right.
Because I love my job. I love having the being able to help someone achieve something and make them feel more like a human again after they've had an injury or
yeah,
or disability or anything, just getting them feeling that they're living again.
Yeah, definitely. So you had those fears, and then to overcome them, to manage them, what were you doing? All of these, you know, the visualizations, the journaling, that sort of thing, was that helping with that as well as the goal setting?
Yes. Yeah, so I realized, and actually I've just read a book recently that says this in it, I realized that having a goal that's really far into the future is not good. It's not good for anyone. You just lose sight of it. You don't see the outcome. You're not getting anything positive out of it. But having small, realistic goals is more important than, even if they're the smallest goal, when you achieve that goal, then you are more, you're more powerful in seeing the positive thing out of it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. Set small, realistic goals. And even to most people, they would seem so, they're like not important at all, but to me at that time they were, like, yeah, to be able to brush my teeth again and to be able to like shave my legs. So, like, small goals, but they were goals. And then once those goals are achieved, then you set bigger goals
because the confidence was there.
Yeah.
What motivates you to keep going?
Oh, this is hard, because I don't know what motivated me initially, but now it's a habit, and I can see the positive side of me that comes through when I do it. Yeah. And I can see the negative, the miserable, moody side of Sam. Yeah. That comes out when I don't do these things that make me a positive person. And you can see it happening, and it's so obvious. And I wish it was so easy to do the things that make you positive all the time, but I'm just a normal human. I'm not nothing special, and there are going to be times that anyone at all that will go through those low points. It's just, as long as they're low points and you do those things that make you happy and positive again, that's all that matters.
Yeah, because it brings you back up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if we can just put a time scale on this, so from the day that you woke up from your coma to the day you started walking, how long did that take?
I started walking with two people assisting me, mm-hmm, not very long after. Wow. But I started walking on my own when I was allowed, because I did when I wasn't allowed and fell over. when I was allowed to start walking on my own, and I was safe to do that, it would have been probably 2 months after I came out of the coma.
Wow. I mean, that is incredible. And that all stems from this daily focus and these small goals. Because I know that at 4 months you've skied to the accident area.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
That's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. What was going through your mind as you skied back to that place?
I love skiing, and I was so, because of my balance, I was so worried that I wasn't going to be able to. Mm-hmm. I wanted to meet the mountain rescue team and thank them so much, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be alive. And don't get me wrong, there were times that I wish I hadn't survived, but they're the most amazing people. But people do ask me, wasn't I really emotional going down to where I was found, where I had my accident? And to be honest with you, I don't remember, because I don't remember. I think your body does it deliberately. I don't remember going off the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
I remember everything. I remember having the most amazing night of my life. It was the best New Year's Eve ever. And I've only got those memories. I haven't got the memories of going off the mountain. And because I skied down to the mountain, I think it might have been different if I saw where I was found in a sit ski, because I couldn't walk anymore.
Yeah, of course.
I think it would have been a hell of a different story.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, obviously, that must have, did it provide closure? Did it, or again, because you didn't have the memories like you just said, did you find it cathartic at all?
Yeah, it made me realise how lucky I am.
Yeah.
Because until that point, I didn't feel lucky at all. I thought, why? I'd always thought, like, why me? Why did this accident have to happen? How unlucky could I have been? You know, what have I not done in my life so that this has happened to me now?
Yeah.
But it made me realise how lucky I am. And there must be a reason, no matter what reason that is. I might never know it, but there is a reason why I survived.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. And I think, you know, I think you know that reason, and we're going to talk about that a little bit towards the end, or further into this interview. But, you know, something like your accident has a, you know, huge impact on you. How has it changed you as a person?
I think my perspective on life is changed massively.
Mm-hmm.
How I see different friendships, I'm definitely hell of a lot less materialistic. I never was really anyway, but I definitely am now, because definitely less materialistic now, because you think the most important thing in your life is to have experiences that you'll remember forever, not just having something that you've bought.
Yeah.
I complain less and I moan less, even though there will be an occasion where I do moan and complain, because everyone does.
Yeah.
But instead of not doing anything about it, there's more action into why I'm moaning and complaining, and changing it into something that I don't moan and complain about.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's why I've changed most.
Okay, so it's made you a lot more appreciative of the small things.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
And obviously from previous conversations we've had, one of the hardest things that you've had to overcome was being classified as disabled. Can you just talk a little bit about that impact? Because you felt that, you know, and there is a stigma that comes with a disability. How have you overcome that?
That was really hard, because I've spent most of my working career trying to get people to not be injured again, and try and get someone out of a disability mm-hmm. that they have, or get them more out of a disabled place. But so I think the first time I wrote a blog about it, it took me ages, and I think I cried writing it, because that was the first time that I really said to myself that I am disabled and I'm going to be classed as disabled for the rest of my life. And I think the stigma that society has on it makes it so much worse than it is, because there are probably hundreds of people that do live with disabilities, and positively as well, but you would never know, because disability comes in all shapes and sizes. It doesn't follow one thing that society dictates. Yeah. So it was hard, but I think once I, because I like to say now that I don't follow the society's norm.
Yeah.
Because I think it's getting how society portrays people and how society portrays normality. I think it's getting worse. I think it's becoming more unrealistic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, you know, there is a lot of stigma, a lot of judgment that is cast upon people with not real understanding as to why. And I know that that's something that you're very passionate about changing, as it is with me. And so, you know, just hearing your thoughts on that, is very inspiring. You've spoken a lot throughout this about the positive resources that you use, and I know that you often call it your life admin, but you know, how does that fit in, because you are busy? You know, I know you've got a hobby? I guess it is.
I think it is a hobby now.
Yeah, but that takes up a lot of your time, and then obviously you've got your job and your life. So how do you make sure that you commit to your life admin on a day-to-day basis, knowing the impact that it has on you on a positive level?
Well, I'm unfortunately one of these people that only needs about 4 or 5 hours sleep.
Right.
So I won't set an alarm. My body will just wake up. I will read what I'm reading. So at the moment, I'm reading a book called Manifest Now. It's amazing. It's really good. I read. I make sure that I like having lists, and I like having my life planned really well. So my daily plan is done in the morning. I like getting to work an hour early, because I like planning what I'm meant to be doing and making sure that the day is going to be better for everyone else I'm going to be working with.
Yeah.
Before I get to work, though, I try and walk about 5K before I get to work, just around the area, because I know that I love being in the outdoors. I love being close to nature, and I use it as part of my training as well. But I have recently started again, because I stopped for a while, but I recently started again the whole visualizing and manifestation. That's the one. So I've got my book now, so I write down what I'm visualizing and what I would want to manifest. And I write the same thing 100 times, and I read out loud, and I not just write it down and reading out, but I think about it, and I think how it would make me feel. And I like, so it's a bit like how knowing that I had the job in Austria before even having spoken to the person, I could see myself on the mountain. I could see myself driving to my clients. I could feel how happy I was because I love snow, I love being in that environment. So having those feelings, even if they're not real, but having those like feeling, literally feeling that thing that you want so much, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And that's stuff I do.
Amazing. It's amazing. It is awe-inspiring, but you're living proof that this works. You know, your example with your job with Austria. Yeah, I've heard that with Denise Duffield Thomas. I don't know if you have, when she manifested a 6-month trip around the world. And it was very similar to what you've just spoken about. But having that, the connection of writing your goals, connecting the feelings, and then revisiting it on a day-to-day basis really helps to train your mind to focus on that outcome.
And yeah, definitely.
It is so sure on what it is that it's aiming for that there is very little space for fear and doubt to come in. And I love that. I think that is amazing. I really do. And, you know, what you do in order to stay positive is just, it's simple, but it's consistent and it builds momentum. And that is the key thing, isn't it?
Massively. And I know some people listening to this, and I know I probably would, if I listened to myself 3 or 4 years ago saying what I'm saying now, I would be saying, what a load of rubbish. I would like, but if you've got to just believe it's going to happen and just be set, having that positivity reinforced in you is the best thing. It just works. It just works.
It does, you're right. And you know, leading on from this, like we've spoken about obviously your accident and the ways in which you've coped with your recovery and your life afterwards, one massive thing that's come out of your accident is that you've fallen in love with hiking. And this has really provided you with, like, I suppose, the freedom, but the challenge as well. And you've gone on to climb not just little mountains, have you? Like, you've gone the whole shebang. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Okay, so this is the strangest thing. So 2 days before my injury, I was a physio for a gentleman called Martin Hewitt in Austria. He was there skiing with his wife, and he was telling me about what he does. So he set up this charity called the Adaptive Grandstand, and he took disabled veterans up, was trying to do the 7 highest mountains in the world, but with disabilities. And I thought it's amazing. So we exchanged contact details.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be involved as a physio, but then my injury happened and I contacted him and said, I'm really sorry, I can't be a physio anymore, but I want to be involved. And from then, 3 months after, 6 months after my injury, 3 weeks after my nerve transplant surgery, I tried out for Everest.
Wow. Starting small then.
I was not ready. I was not ready. It was too sudden after my injury. I could only walk 5K over some hills in the Brecon Beacons. But since then, I've just worked so hard with my training and with my mindset that's my thing now. So I've hiked up and Grand Paradiso, which is the highest mountain in Italy. I've hiked up Kilimanjaro, which is the highest in Africa.
Yeah.
Next March, if sponsorship goes through again, then it will be Everest. And unfortunately, I won't be able to summit because you have to have already climbed a 7,000 meter peak. Because then they know how your body will respond to altitude.
Yeah.
So I will be going to a 7,000 meter peak.
Yeah.
Which is a bit lower than Everest, but Well, once I've done the 7,000 meter peak on Everest, I can do the summit next time.
Wow.
And I've also signed up, I haven't told you, Emma, I've also signed up for a cross-country skiing ultramarathon in February in Finland.
Wow. Brilliant. it's just amazing to think, you know, at the start of 2016, you started that year in a coma with a 7% chance of survival. And now in 2018, you've already climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. You're training for Everest. You've signed up for a cross-country skiing. It is phenomenal, the things that you have achieved. And I just feel in awe, because to go just in less than 2 years, to go from that, from where you were to now, is just amazing. And, you know, what you've spoken about today really shows that the power that your mindset has will really help to determine the outcomes that you want, which we know. And, you know, you can achieve anything you put your mind to. And to have to learn to walk and talk and eat and brush hair and do things that people take for granted on a day-to-day basis in as little as 4 months, to then be skiing to the area of your accident, it is just awe-inspiring. You know, anyone who's ever doubted whether the mindset really is that powerful, you are proving that it is. And, you know, I take my hat off to you. I just think it is amazing. You know, when you are hiking, do you have a sense of freedom? You know, what do you enjoy about it?
I just think it's beautiful. And actually, I was reading this in a book the other day about how nature makes you feel more, brings you down to earth, makes you reevaluate your life much more than living in a city or a town. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's beautiful. And having the ability to walk, let alone just on a pavement, but up a mountain, I'm just amazed. I'm amazing. No, I'm not amazed. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. But I'm amazed with what I can do, and I'm so pleased with what I am doing. And I just love it. It makes me reevaluate where I'm living all the time.
Yeah.
But if someone wants to adopt me and live in a caravan on the side of a mountain, then that'd be fine.
Yeah. You can have one of those tents and just hang it from a
mountain. Yes, yeah.
That's crazy. What made you go, like, take up hiking, though?
It was meeting Martin 2 days before my injury.
Right.
I was never a hiker before my injury.
Yeah.
I loved being active, and I loved skiing, and I loved being on a mountain but skiing down it, never hiking up it. And I think the reason I am now hiking up mountains, I worked out the other day that until August this year, I hiked at least 2 mountains a month.
Wow.
And I can't believe, I was like, what? Yeah, I worked out. But yeah, it's all come from meeting Martin 2 days before my injury. So yeah. Everything does happen for a reason.
100%. I mean, that, you know, that is ironic. That, you know, that's the universe working at its best there, that you met.
Yeah.
And, you know, after everything that's happened, you now have taken up hiking and are still a part of something that you wanted to be involved with, albeit slightly differently than you had planned. You know, Sam, what keeps you going with everything, with the challenges, with the hikes, with, you know, the constant improvement on your fitness? What keeps you going?
It's my life now. It's a habit, and I feel a hole appearing if I stop. I love being active. I love feeling how physically fit I am, and love working on myself mentally.
Yeah.
And it's a habit.
It's become who you are.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it's incredible. It's so incredible. I would love for you to, you know, you mentioned very briefly about the Mount Everest trip that you're doing with regards to sponsorship. Is there any way that anybody can help with sponsorship? Do you have a Just Giving page, or is there anything that the public could do if they wanted to help to fund that for you?
Well, I'm not sure what Martin does regarding sponsorship, but I think the Adaptive Grand Slam has now become a registered charity. So right. People can support through that. But also, if people want to know more about it, they can email Martin. He's so approachable. Even on if you go on the website, you can look at how to donate the charity through the website, and also contact Martin.
Brilliant. Because, you know, all your contact links, that website address will all be in the show notes. But, it's just really to find out if there is any way that any of us can help to fund what is an amazing, you know, opportunity for you. So I will add all of them to the show notes, and then people can look and read further, and then potentially contact you if needs be.
Yes, anyone can contact me. If anyone has a question, anyone wants to know more information about something, or ask me why I'm so crazy, they can go ahead. I will be as honest as I can be.
Brilliant. I just want to finish with one final question, which is, what is your mindset mantra?
I've got two.
Yeah.
To live with no excuses. Mm-hmm. And there is always a way.
I love that. I wrote that quote today on my group. I love it. There is always a way.
There's always a way.
I think, you know, you are a massive example of both of them, and you clearly live your life by that. And I'm so thankful for you coming along today and sharing, you know, your journey, your amazing journey, and being honest. And what I love with you is that you're so incredibly humble with it. And I don't necessarily think you recognize the enormity of everything that you do and the impact that that has on people. I know certainly you have impacted on my life massively, and I've no doubt that you will on the people that are listening today. So I just want to say a massive thank you again for coming along, and good luck with your Mount Everest climb. I have no doubt that you will reach 7,000 peak and then be reaching the summit probably the year after. But stay safe and good luck with it all.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review. Bye for now.